Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
I want to thank Jazz and Angel. They have done a stellar job preaching the word about the various cages, the cages that we could get caught up in. So what I want to do is give you a question, and it will tie into the message today. So our first Mentimeter question is this. Yes, America's top phobias. America's top phobias. What do you think is America's top fear? If you had to vote, what do you think is America's top fear? Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Oh, all right. Jeez. Okay. Wow. I don't know how I feel about that because I'm publicly speaking today. According to a poll done by the Washington Post, America's number one fear is public speaking. That is America's number one fear. Who does not have that fear? Raise your hand. Okay, good. You will be going into the full-time ministry. So thank you for letting me know now. But you know, that is a fear. Okay, let's go to the next Mentimeter. I have a question here for our YouTubers. What is your phobia? What are your phobias? And basically today, we're going to be talking about escaping the cage of fear. Escaping the cage of fear. Failure. Yes, I can see that. Germs. Okay. Fear of public rats. Okay. Spiders. Yeah, bugs was one on that list also. Shots definitely was on that list. The fear of being broke. Well, okay. That's reality. Kangaroos. We have someone watching from Australia, obviously. Fear of kangaroos. Okay, germs. Failure. Okay, all right. Being embarrassed publicly. Vulnerability. Okay, they're moving. Snakes. All right. Heights. Heights. That's mine. Heights. And God has a sense of humor because, you know, God will make you face your fears. So I grew up in Tallahassee, Florida, and we had one tall building. That was the state capitol. Everything else was flat. I moved to New York City, go to the Bronx. My first Bible discussion is in a 25-story apartment building with a balcony. I'm like, man, and it was called Co-op City, and it's all these tall buildings with balcony. I'm like, man, facing the fears. I went out there once, didn't go back out there. Okay. I don't know. In my mind, the day I step out there is the day it's going to collapse. That's what happens in my mind. And you know what? All of our fears and phobias, identity theft. Okay, well, I don't know if that's a fear. It's just part of reality these days. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about fear, how fear is a factor in our daily lives. We can go to the next slide there, how fear is a factor in our daily lives. How many of you all remember that show from the early 2000s, Fear Factor? Fear Factor. Man, that used to be what we would watch as a family. After dinner, we would sit around and we would watch Fear Factor. It was one of your first big reality shows. And the whole premise of the show was to face your fears. So some people, they had fear of bugs, so they had to allow the bugs crawl all over them. Some people had a fear of spiders, so they ate spiders. Some people had a fear of heights, so they had to dangle from a... And then if you won through your fears and you didn't quit, you would win a prize. So fear is a factor. But how do we deal with fear? We live in a society today that has so much that can make us fearful. The news is just bad. I mean, there are times I don't even watch the news because it's so bad. And you will feel like the whole world is falling apart. if you just listen to the media. But, you know, we're going to talk about some things here as disciples of Christ. You know, we're reading a book, Wild Goose, by Mark Batterson. And in this chapter, he was talking about dealing with fear. Dealing with fear, chasing the wild goose, dealing with fear. And I wanted to share this quote with you because it really helped as I was preparing for today. I think we have made the false assumption about the will of God. We subconsciously think it should get easier the longer we follow Christ. Let me push back a little. I certainly believe that some dimensions of spiritual growth get easier with the consistent spiritual disciplines, but I also believe that spiritual growth prepares us for more dangerous missions. As we grow, God gives us more difficult things to do. And one of those difficult things that God gives us to do is to face our fears, to deal with what's really going on the inside. Now, are you all with me this morning? Because, we're going to really have some good old-fashioned talk today. And I think if we can drill down on these scriptures, it will really help our hearts. Because after a while, when you've been a Christian, you really think your toughest days are behind you. And you will, wow, okay. And you would like to believe they can just sail on into heaven. But, you know, my wife and I, we've been doing this now about 37 years. Living the Christian life. Most of our adult years, living the Christian life. If you've been trying to live the Christian life for 20 years or more, raise your hands. All right, so we got people out here who've been trying for a couple of decades to live this Christian life. It is filled with joy. It is filled with excitement. It is filled with adventure. And it is filled with challenges. It's a lot in this. There are mountains. There are victories. And you are excited. And then there are days when you're in a valley where you don't know if you can make it one more step. And if you say, well, that's not my Christian life, you're not really living the Christian life. Because when you're really doing this thing, God himself is leading us, and God allows us to keep growing. And we can't grow without resistance. We cannot grow unless things get challenging for us, because God is always trying to redirect our focus. Because you know where our focus normally goes, right? What do we normally think about? What do we think about the first thing we get up in the morning? Us. Me. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to do today? How do I feel today? What's going on with this? With me, me. We think about ourselves. And God is saying, I have something more for you to think about. If you go to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2, I found this story. And you know, sometimes embedded in simple biblical stories are amazing Bible principles. So going over to Mark, let's pull up that slide there. And we're going to look at this particular incident here that I just got a kick out of it. And a few years back, we did this as a play. And Chase reminded me he was in that play. And it just was cool. In Mark chapter 2, it says, a few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. What I like about this story, let's just visualize what was going on here. So here Jesus, he's preaching the word, and Jesus is very popular, and the room is packed. I mean, all these people show up. And then the word gets out that not only does he preach powerfully, he will heal you. And this paralyzed man said, I got to get there. But there were no wheelchairs in that day. The only way he was going to get there was with his boys. So, you know, his friends get him, and they start walking. And they get up to the house, excuse me, no. Excuse me, no. Hey, our friend here, he needs to see Jesus. Yeah, so do I. Okay. Excuse me, no. But we got to get our friend to Jesus. Well, I got to get my mama to Jesus. No. So the room is packed. They could not get him to Jesus. You know, the paralyzed man could have been afraid of the crowd and said, you know what? Never mind. It's too many people. His buddies could have said, I'm afraid we got here too late. I told you, Willie, to hurry up. You move too slow. Now we missed the opportunity to be with Jesus. Paralyzed man could have said, missed it again. Jeez, I fear I will never be healed. Jeez, I'm going to spend the rest of my life. The other guys could have said, you know what, I'm afraid we got to go back home. We'll catch Jesus on the next go round. But in the crowd, somebody had this crazy idea. In the crowd, somebody said, hey, we tried the back door. We tried the side door. Let's go up on the roof. You ever had a crazy friend? Okay, let's go back, because in the church, we're good people. You ever had a crazy friend in the world? They just did their craziest stuff. And guess what? They didn't do it by themselves. They were like, come on, I got an idea. And guess what some of us did? Yeah, what is it? And we went along with it. You know, in the church, we don't like crazy ideas. We get very tame and sophisticated. But every now and then, God sends these guys and girls with crazy ideas, you know. Someone my name, Angel Maldonado. I got an idea! Jazz Vic. Hey, I got an idea! Like, Vic, chill. There's something else, you know. My wife has a lot of those ideas. I hear them all the time. I got an idea. I got an idea. And we need those people in our lives because it keeps it exciting. So somebody said, let's go up on the roof. Now, the paralyzed man could have said, I don't want y'all to drop me. But he was like, okay, I'll do it. And you know, the friends could have said, what if we drop him? Well, I won't go there. Or they could have been like, we're going to tear somebody's roof. Oh, property damage. I'm afraid we can't do that. Or what if Jesus is in the middle of a very important sentence and we interrupt him? And what if Jesus is like, what are you doing? What if Jesus rebukes us? All those thoughts could have been going through their minds. But you know what they did? They went for it. And what I love about this passage, because I said there are hidden jewels in simple passages. The scripture, think about it. Jesus said, the scripture, when Jesus saw his faith, what did it say? Their faith. Their faith. Now, one guy needed healing, but he needed a crew to help him get the healing. One guy was trying to see Jesus, but he needed support to get to Jesus. He needed a squad, Misty, I hear you, to make this happen. And one of the fallacies of American religion is I can do this all by myself. That's not even biblical. This man wanted to get to Jesus. It meant that someone had to inconvenience their lives to get to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like being inconvenienced. I don't like it when I'm in the supermarket. I got to confess. Ladies, you know you got to take out your debit card. Why do you have these big bags digging through the bag, pulling out 5 cards, you pay with 1. Oh my God, I'm standing back there like. And I love my Gen Zers and Millennials because they just go up and boop. And it's done. Ladies, I know you love your designer bags. We got things to do. While you're standing in line, go ahead and take the debit card out. I ain't calling no names, but you know who you are. Ooh, being inconvenienced. But you know, as a good disciple, you just say, amen, sister. Where do you go to church? How you doing today? You know, we've been on a little journey, a squad of us, me, Roland, Niger, and Ed. We've been on a little journey. And we had this friend of ours who said he wanted to see Jesus. He said he wanted to see Jesus. And, you know, we would go meet with him. Ed found a place up 285 Panera. Now, I don't know if you know what happens in Atlanta at about 4:30 on any given day. About 4:30. And it's like, okay, we're going to study up here. And, man, we would be driving up. And Roland and I be sitting in traffic. And they're like, okay, we're just going to make the best of this. And some of us, you know, Nigel would be coming from work from one side of town. You know, Carrie's on one side and Ed was coming up from one place. But this gentleman was determined to see Jesus. And we were sitting at Panera and sometimes it was cold in there. They were blasting at AC. We would all be sitting there like, okay. And I have one brother, he wants you to get the point, so he's going to explain it syllable by syllable. I am not calling his name, but it wasn't me, Ed, and Niger. So all I'm saying is that, and we will be in there like, okay, but we got to, but what I loved about that time, what I loved about that time, our friend was so eager to see Jesus that he would read the scriptures beforehand. And let me tell you, not only that, this grown man was weeping over the word of God. When's the last time you wept over the word of God? See, some of us are visiting church, but we're not understanding this is an encounter with God. We got to deal with our hearts, our lives. We got to deal with God. It's not about the people. And, you know, some of us as disciples, sometimes we forget if we're going to help people deal with God, we may be inconvenienced. It may not fit in our time schedule. It may not fit when we feel like it. But how do you think those guys felt? With the paralytic? What were they willing to do? You know, Carrie is my neighbor, and one day we just started having a conversation. We just started chatting. And, you know, he came out to Easter. Then he didn't come back for a while, but then he came to the men's breakfast, and God was working on his heart. We don't know when God is working on someone's heart. You know, as a church, as disciples of Jesus, let me just talk to my disciples for a minute, my brothers and sisters. I have a question for you. Let's go back to the Mentimeter. I think sometimes that we can get so caught up in our lives and we get paralyzed by fear. We get paralyzed. So I want you to work with me here for a few minutes. As a disciple, my greatest fear that I'm not worthy of God's love. Okay. Thank you for that. Is not have anyone listen to me or take me serious. Rejection. Okay. Fear of being rejected. My family not making it to heaven. Something happened to my children. Falling away. Not helping enough people. That I don't have the time to repent. These are really, really good. And you know what? I appreciate you being honest. Now, let me be honest with each and every one of us. If we are going to be here for a lifetime, if we made the good confession that Jesus is Lord, and we plan to be here until the day we die, I know we love to talk. I know we love to talk to each other. I know we love to go talk to a therapist. We as Americans do a lot of talking, but we got to start letting the scriptures talk to us. We got to get back into our Bible. The only way we are going to get out of these cages of fear is by battling with the Word of God. You know, I look at these different situations, and I say, okay, what is the scriptural reference for this? Rejection, Matthew chapter 4. Jesus had to battle in his relationship with God. The struggle with sin, not being good enough. You can go back to that slide, please. Not being good enough, not having anyone listen to me. This is a deep one, my family not making it to heaven. You know what the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28? We know that a few things work out. We know that in all things, God is working for the good of those. And that's the end of the scripture. You know, God is working for the good. No, for the good of those who what? And what else? His purpose. Now, that's where we get caught up. Because we have a purpose, and God has his purpose. And a friend of mine that's been a disciple much longer than me, he said, you know what? I've lived long enough to see it all works out. It's in his mid-70s. He said, it works out. And I think sometimes we just fear and we fear and we fear and we fear. Not hearing God when he speaks to me, not helping enough people, fear of being rejected. All right, fear of being rejected. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. In fact, you can just read all of Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, anyone remember that scripture? Rejoice in the Lord when it works out. Rejoice in the Lord when you rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord when she says yes. When he says yes. Rejoice in the Lord when you just feel in the mood to rejoice. Scripture says rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. We struggle with anxiety. Guess what the Bible says? Do not be anxious about anything. Woo, wrap that one up. The struggle with sin, rejoice in the Lord always. Having a fruitless life, rejoice in the Lord. Just rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. If we are going to come out of the cage of fear, we have got to use the scriptures. The scripture that I have been meditating on, and sometimes you can just get stuck on a scripture. I was stuck on this psalm for about a whole week, and I didn't get through the whole psalm. I was just stuck on the psalm. And you know, that's Psalm 25. I know we like the 23rd psalm, but there are many more psalms in the Bible. Saying the wrong thing. Wow. Okay. Okay. Being unfruitful. Okay. Stumbling. Okay. Not being able to help my wife. Okay. Inadequacy. When God places me in an uncomfortable situation, he's not walking with me. Oh, wow. I like that one. Because you know what it says in Psalm chapter 25? In you, Lord, I put my trust. In you, Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Lord, I put. Brothers and sisters, I love the fellowship. I love our preachers. I love our leaders. We got to fall in love with God. We got to fall in love with the Word. this Sunday morning for an hour and something, and I know we got football coming, so I'm about to wrap it up, and we're ready to eat. We got other things to do. It's not going to give you what you need for a sustainable life in God. After being in the Lord for 30-something years, it's a lot of reading the Bible and over and over and memorizing scriptures and meditating on the scriptures and going back to the scriptures and understanding. Sometimes people don't understand, and it's okay. Sometimes people aren't there for me, and it's okay. Sometimes I do blow it, but it's okay. Because all of the, any fear that we have, there's a scripture in the Bible for it. Well, brother, where's the scripture? In Google. You can type it all in Google and the scripture will pop up. Just ask Google, what is the scripture for me feeling blank? You don't even have to have a commentary. Google will take care of it for you. But what I'm trying to help us understand in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. This is probably the most educated group of people I've ever worked with in my life. I mean, we are some degreed, professional, amazing people. But we can become very self-sufficient. That's the challenge. And sometimes we're too smart. Because we're getting logical with God. But you know what? God's going to win that battle. God is going to win it. Fear. You know, Sean and I were talking about fear last night, and I have my fears. And it goes through different phases. There was a time I feared when my children started driving. Any parents can relate to that? The car is gone, Lord, just let it return. You know, some of y'all with them little toddlers, I'm afraid to put them on the bus. No, 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 sister, they ain't nothing. Put them in our car. Give them the keys. But all those are fears. All those are fears. We all deal with them. I was at one time afraid, is the ministry going to do well? We go through different phases. We go through different things. I don't want to invalidate anybody's fear because fear is what you feel. But I'm just saying we cannot stay there. So why was I meditating on Psalm 25? And because, you know, now I'm just at a place in my life and God has a sense of humor. So I have all these friends my age and they're all talking about retirement. And they're talking about how they're going to do when they retire and what they're going to have when they retire. And, oh, guess what's going on with my retirement? I got a text from a dude. Hey, I just got a job opportunity. I'm going to be making X amount of money. You know, and I'm like, Jesus is Lord. And I said, let me pray for my friends. Let me rejoice with those who rejoice. Because I come from an era when preachers didn't believe in retirement. In fact, there were some preachers say, don't get Social Security. I mean, you will never retire. That was the thinking 30 years ago. You never go. And you know, Sean, I'm talking about it. Do I fear? Well, I mean, you know, my only thing is I don't want to be a burden. That's my thing. I don't want to be a burden to family. I don't want to be a burden to friends. So that's why I had to stay in Psalm chapter 25. And I had to meditate over and over and over. Lord, at 21. I put my trust in you. That's why I started this thing. And if anybody's sitting out there saying, well, he's just unfaithful. You're not supposed to have fear if you're a Christian. You're not living the Christian life. You're living a religious life. Because when you're religious, you're superficial. And you're not going deep with yourself. And you're not going deep with God. How many of God's warriors had fear, but they didn't stay there? You know, going back to the scripture here in Mark chapter 2. Now there were in verse 6, now were some teachers of the law who were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? So Jesus had done an amazing thing in this paralytic's life. And there were critics. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what was they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, don't do that in front of Jesus. Don't think negative things in front of Jesus when you're sitting in front of him. Because he said, I know what you're thinking. Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or say, get up, take your mat, and walk. So that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of all of them. They all saw the miracle. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. My fear about the church right now as a church is simply, I break down two things before we take communion. My first fear is we don't learn the lessons from history. And as God people, we keep repeating the same pattern over and over again. We got to read our Bibles. We got to learn church history. We got to learn biblical history. You know, fear number one, there's always a group of people who come into the church and they want the church to be more like the world. So there's this cultural thing like, they want to dress like the world. They want to date like the world. They want to live like the world. They want to be committed like the world. And they make the enemy discipleship. Versus saying, no. I am a new creation. The old has gone. The new, I am being transformed to be more like Christ. That's my fear. Is that we, and it's always happened with God's people, they go try to get back into the world. My second fear is, and this one is a little bit more subtle, when we lose our amazement and awe, when we lose what Jesus has done in our lives and in the lives of other people, we get cynical and we get critical. So the religious leaders are sitting there, and they are criticizing Jesus. Did they get up and go try to help the paralytic? Did they say, hey, let's clear the crowd? People got to get to Jesus? No, they're sitting there like, what is he doing? Huh. They're checking their scrolls against the word. In the beginning was the word. And they're trying to keep Jesus in check. And they were missing. And guess what? There were people in that room who were excited to see Jesus, going to be healed by Jesus. Then there were those in the room who just wanted to learn more, and then there were the cynics and the critics. And after doing this for 3 decades, it's still the same today. Do not allow yourself to lose your gratitude. Because when you lose your gratitude and your awe, you're going into that religious dimension. Oh, you're at church, you're around, but then you're watching. And you're no longer in awe of what God has done in your life. Oh, man, people are getting baptized, people are changing, people are growing. It becomes so much about what we think is best. Because that was the religious leaders. They knew better than Jesus. Wow. It could happen to any of us. When we lose sight of what we should be doing for God. And I've been there before. I know what it's like when it becomes more about me and not enough about he. And like I said, 3 decades of God's people. I was talking to Roland the other day. He said, Mike, you remember, because Roland loves the Bible. He said, Mike, you remember the Israelites? As soon as they came out of Egypt, what did they do? Complain. We're thirsty. We're hungry. We want bread. Now we want meat. It's just never, ever. Because they had lost their gratitude. How do we keep our gratitude? It's about Jesus. We focus on Jesus. If you're visiting here today, thank you for being here, but your focus can't be us. It can't be the person who brought you. Your focus has got to be the word. I want you to imitate our brother Kerry. Let the word into your heart. Make changes based on the Bible. And for those of us who've been around, I don't want us to become religious. I want us to remain in awe. And you know how you remain in awe? The communion. That time that we take every single Sunday is a reset. And we make it about Jesus. Right now, we're going to take communion. What is communion? It's a reflection on the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. It's a reminder, I'm only here for one reason. Jesus. Nobody else matters in the scheme of life, but Jesus. And we love our family, we love our friends, but we got to love Jesus so much more. We love our lives, but we got to love Jesus so much more.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.